Proverbs 4 tonight. Proverbs chapter 4. We're speaking about wisdom. It's our third week, I believe. And tonight we're going to talk about wisdom in the heart. Proverbs 4, wisdom in the heart. Let's stand together while I read about five verses. Let's stand and let's read, I'll start at verse 18. Why don't we read responsively? I'll read 18, you can read 19 and so forth. We will every other verse read together. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All righty, let's go ahead and pray together, and you can be seated after the prayer. Our Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth it gives. Thank you for the wisdom we can have. Thank you, all of our learning is not either watching and observing or experiencing, but also we can have a level above that, which is the commandments of God. And your word gives light, your word gives wisdom, your word shows us prudence ahead of time, what will happen and what we need to know. Lord, help us to be wise and prudent enough to listen tonight. I pray that everybody would have ears to hear and you would speak, and that combination would result in people who have had the word of God spoken to them personally and powerfully by the Holy Spirit of God. Make a difference in our hearts and in our minds, and speak to us now. We pray you'd help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Jess, can you open this door and prop it open there? And let's see if we can get a little cold air from there coming in. All right. A couple things just in this that are obvious. It says in verse 21, the Father speaking to Solomon, let them not depart from thine eyes, and keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep what? My words and my sayings, the verse before. He says, take my words and my sayings, and don't let them depart from your heart and your mind. And let them stay there, and keep them near your heart. And then verse 23, of course, it talks about the path of the righteous. If you'll do this, you'll be blessed, and the path of the wicked is very difficult. And he says, my words are going to help you. Verse 22, they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And then verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago, this verse really got a hold of me, and I really understood it and really understood the importance of it, and I really applied it ever since then to teaching and preaching and life and counseling and everything. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart come the issues of your entire life, and it comes from the heart. And the word heart, it means heart, in the organ, but it's in its understanding in the Bible, it's clearly used, and the definition of it is, it comes from the word center, the heart of something, we would say. It's right at the center of something. It also talks about your feelings. And so it's a center of your feelings. That's the best definition you could find that fits in with the definition of the word and the Bible use of it. It's a center of your feelings, your heart is. And it says you're supposed to keep your heart with all diligence. But you're supposed to keep the commandments near your heart. And you're supposed to keep them with all diligence. Why? Out of your heart are the issues of life. Your relationships will come out of your heart. Your decisions will come out of your heart. Everything will come out of your heart. So your heart has got to be right, and your heart's got to be careful. Your heart's got to be controlled, and because out of it are the issues of life. That's why you've got to keep your heart. In Chicago, we used to, bus kids never saw ties before. And so one of their favorite things to do to us bus workers who were required to wear ties was they liked to pretend that they were pendulums on a grandfather clock on your tie. And so they would grab your tie and swing on it and hang on it. And all the time, these kids, it was magnetic. They would run, they'd see the tie, and they'd grab on it, and they'd hang on it. And that wasn't fun. And it made you want to wear a clip-on and watch them fall and hit the ground. And but they loved to hang on your tie. And you found out something. Wherever your tie goes, you go. And if you're walking along and a kid grabs your tie and yanks it, you go back that way. And because it switches from a tie to a noose very quickly. And I don't know exactly the purpose of this except for to sneeze on or for someone to grab you and control you. And why I wear it, I don't know. But that's what a tie does. It controls you. And when somebody grabs this thing and yanks it, you've got to go wherever that goes. And that's the way your heart is. If you can understand, your heart is a little more like an elastic band. And it hooks on. And wherever that goes, you'll eventually go. And if somebody over here is holding my heart and dragging my heart, I might say I don't want to go that way. And I might be able to stretch somewhat this way for a little while. But eventually, I'm going to go back this way. And eventually, I'm going to end up there. Wherever your heart goes, you go. That's what the Bible talks about, keeping your heart with all diligence. There's a lot of verses all over the Old and New Testament. Today, we're focusing in Proverbs and wisdom in the heart. But you've got to keep your heart. You say, you can't grab my heart. I'm going to choose what does and doesn't grab my heart. I'm going to choose what my heart gets given to, because out of it are the issues of life. All the issues of life are going to stem from the heart, and everything is done. If you don't love the Lord with all your heart, see, Jesus deals with the heart so often. He says, you got to love me, and you got to have a heart for me, and you got to love me with all of your heart. If your family has your heart more than God, they can take you away from God. If your friends have your heart more than God, they can take you away from God. Your heart has got to be kept. And he says, keep it, guard it, take care of it with all diligence. It is a nuclear secret. It's something that's very powerful. It's something that you don't want to give away easily. It's something you've got to control. So let me just give you a few points here on wisdom in the heart. It says, first of all, keep your heart carefully. Keep your heart carefully. Why? Because your heart, wherever it's turned, you will eventually go. You can be turned to money, the world, the flesh. You can be turned to immorality. You can be turned in bad relationships. Your heart is supposed to be kept. Let's look at a great example of this. Because the guy who wrote, my son, keep thy heart with all diligence, we have a great example of not keeping your heart from him. First Kings, let me take you back to First Kings chapter 11. This is an amazing thing because this is written by this man who said, keep your heart with all diligence. And I want to say this. Good men can fall. David, for example. Solomon, for example. And you know why Solomon fell? It wasn't because he didn't know what to do. Everything is not just knowing and what to do and what not to do. I know in my life I've known not to do something and did it anyway. But this man didn't keep his heart. And it ruined his life and it ruined his kingdom and it ruined his family. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in unto them, they shall not come into you. They'll turn away your heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. When you cling to something in love, they now have that thing. And now, they can influence you. And so, doesn't mean you don't love. It means your heart is guarded, and you choose who gets the strings to your heart. We'll explain a little bit the difference between your heart and love, because there is a little bit of a difference. Verse 4, for it came to pass, when Solomon is old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. This is the guy who's on guard knowing that he's got to guard his heart, and there he is, his heart's turned away from God by his wives because he didn't keep his heart with all diligence. And by the way, this was the wisest man who ever lived. It is amazing, amazing, amazing that people I've seen over the years, that people I've talked to over the years, that people who are, I mean people in the ministry, godly people I respected, who thought they could mess around and flirt with danger with their heart, and who fall. And it says, keep your heart with all diligence. I'm not amazed when a 14, 15, 16-year-old teenager does it. They might not have the wisdom to keep their heart. But when adults start doing it, they don't keep their heart. Then they're in real danger. And they know better, and you got to keep it. And so you got to keep your heart with all diligence. Let's go back to Proverbs. So the wisdom says keep your heart, guard your heart, and do that. First of all, underneath that, I want to say give your heart to the right people. Give your heart to the right people. Let's look at Proverbs 23 and verse 26. It says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. My son, give me thine heart. One of the things that a parent has to have with their children, if they want to raise them right, is their heart. If your children do not like you, they will not listen to you. If you don't have their heart, if they don't love you, they won't listen to you. He says two things I think is interesting. He says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. And he says, I want you to watch what I'm doing and pay attention, and I want you to give me your heart. Because when you go and say, okay, here's my heart, I trust you, the good thing is if you're simple or you don't know everything or you're not sure about things, there is nothing wrong with giving your heart to a good person. As a matter of fact, it's very common in the Bible, and it's told to do it in the Bible. Paul was constantly saying to the followers, be followers of me. Listen to what I'm saying. I love you. Respect what I'm saying. Do what I say. Solomon says, my son, give me thine heart. And David's mighty men had their heart. And people in the Bible, Elijah had Elisha's heart. And there's nothing wrong with that. When you have somebody and you say, you know what, I love that person, I trust that person, I'm going to follow them. Now you follow them as you follow Christ, but it is not that you never give your heart away. You're going to have a terrible marriage if you don't give your heart away to your spouse. What if they do bad things? That's why you marry right. Because you got to give your heart away. And I love what Proverbs 31 says, his heart doth safely trust in her. Okay? If you have decent parents and good parents, give them your heart. I understand. Now, I want to say this. The multitude of times we've had kids who we did not want them to give their hearts to their parents. We didn't say it in those ways. But their parents were going to try to drag them to bad things. Their parents were going to naturally take them, and if they gave their heart to their parents, and you've seen innocent, nice kids give their heart to a bad parent, and they followed the bad parent, gladly took them with them to destruction. And why? Because they didn't want to go into destruction feeling lonely like they were the only bad ones. Now, we would want to get their heart, and we had to get their heart attached to someone in the church and to someone older than them usually, and a leader in the church or someone who's very godly, who's a peer with them occasionally. Sometimes we'd have a teenager come to church and their heart would get attached to the pastor. Sometimes it get attached to the youth pastor. Sometimes it get attached to some man in the church. And by the way, we never inspire you to get your heart attached to someone of the opposite gender who's not your spouse. Okay, women, I don't want your heart. I want your husband to have it. And if it's not your husband, go talk to my wife. Now, I want you to like me, I want you to listen to me and trust me and all that stuff, but it's a dangerous thing. And I'm not going to get close to you, I'm not going to talk to you alone, I'm not going to spend a ton of time with you. Why? Because the heart's very dangerous, and I know that, and I know human nature, know my own nature, and we don't want to have that. But you want to give your heart to people you can trust. You want to listen to godly people, you want to have someone who you can listen to. Wounded people often can't give their hearts away, and so they never get influenced for good. You know someone who's 18 to 30, who is foolish in their life and will not listen to anybody because they don't trust anybody. And they won't give their heart away. And they continue in foolishness because they don't trust anybody enough to listen to them. And they come across sometimes as if they know everything, but sometimes they don't think they know everything. They just put on that act because they're insecure and don't want to be vulnerable. But you need to do that. In this case, the best case scenario, the best person, and I'm going to talk about God here because we're talking in the context here where the Bible says, my son, give me thine heart. The number one person to give your heart to, if you can, are your parents. Amen. That is the one that God ordains. If it's messed up, you can't do it sometimes. Understand that? Just said that. But the number one person that you should give your heart to is your parents. And if you ever have friends who try to draw you away from good parents, you can't get away from them fast enough. If they're riding in a passenger seat, open the door and kick them out. Don't do that. When the car's moving. I mean, you cannot get away from someone who tries to grab your heart away from your parents and take it to them if you have good parents. There is nothing fast enough. Olympic gold runners cannot run fast enough from that person. Get away from them who tries to take your heart away from those who you should give your heart to and who love you and want to influence you for good. The parents are the number one. And boy, I've seen some foolish people. I've seen some foolish people who try to get, who try to undermine good authority. Can I tell you, if I have the advantage of children or teenagers in our church ever, and this has always been what I've done, and if I ever have the chance to point them towards their parents and make them love their parents more, I'm doing it. I'm doing that. Because that's the number one way it should be. Parents should have their children's heart, and they should have their children's best interests in mind. Some don't. Proverbs 3:1, my son, there's a bunch of verses on this, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Not necessarily the Bible. He says what I'm telling you. Proverbs 4, verse 4. He says, verse 3, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Verse 20, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes and keep them in the midst of thine heart. Chapter 6. And verse 21, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Chapter 7, verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers and write them on the table of thine hearts. He's saying, son, take what I'm giving you and write it down and keep it near to your heart. Keep my words in your heart. Let me have your heart. It's very important that you do so. And so we see, give your heart to the right people. Next, don't let the wrong people have your heart. Let's go to Proverbs 23. Don't let the wrong people have your heart. This goes without saying, but the Bible does say it, and it's very important. It says, Proverbs 23 and verse 17, let not your heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Well, that's an important verse. You know, it's a weird thing because we have this... it's hard to think this. It's hard to imagine this. But you know, most of history we didn't have media. It's kind of hard to imagine. But you know, did you know 150 years ago there was no TV and radio? That's not that long ago. And so for the first 6,000 years almost of history, there wasn't media. So it's just like people in your immediate vicinity that you knew about. But now, with the media, we've got these. The kids watch, and we're great hero worshipers by nature. It used to be our parents, we would worship and we would love, and I'm using that word worship wrong, but we would think highly of them and want to be like them, and want to be like our mom, want to be like our dad. But then all of a sudden, now we've got this guy, and this guy jumps off the second story of a building and lands on his feet. It's pretty amazing. And boy, he is built. Every single muscle bulging, the shirt fits him just right, and bad guys come, and he knocks out 25 of them, and not one of them ever hits him, and he gets shot at, and none of the bullets hit him. He's an amazing man. And after he beats up 25 guys and has all that fight, he gets kicked in the face 3 times and punched, and he never gets knocked down, and never even gets a bruise out of it. And when he gets done, he's not even breathing hard. And then the women start falling all over him. And our kids began to envy. Okay, kids, that wasn't real. Okay? And by the way, that guy can't stay married. He's a wimp. He's not strong enough to stay married. And he can't give up his own will for God. And he can't say no. And he's a drug addict a lot of times because he's not strong enough to say no. But we start envying sinners. Because Hollywood plays a little clip of their life, and we see the so and so, this beautiful lady and this handsome man, and they get married. Do you know they're going to be on the cover of that magazine getting divorced in 6 months? And then they're going to get remarried again and divorced again. Then they're just going to live together and then get divorced again. Then they're going to have 4 more kids, and they're going to hate each other and get divorced again. Then one of them's going to be in drug rehab, and then they're going to get remarried to somebody else. Don't envy sinners. Bible says their life's wicked, their life's empty, and it goes downhill, and they have 65,000 surgeries to try to stay looking young because they have nothing real to give them peace. All they have is their parents. When their parents goes away, all they can do is have surgeries and injections because they have nothing real to them. Do not envy sinners, the Bible says. Proverbs 23 and verse 6. It says, eat not bread with him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You're going to find that a bunch of people say they're your friends, but they aren't real. Did you know how tightly drug addicts talk to each other and tell each other they're each other's friends and then abandon each other? And you know, after a while, they all know they're lying to each other, but still act like they say it so they can feel like they have real friends, but none of them are each other's friends. And the Bible says, don't envy those people and don't give them your heart. Their heart's not with you. They don't really love you. They don't really love you. Your mom and dad might love you more. Your pastor might love you more. Your Christian friend might love you more. Your youth pastor, your grandma might love you more than them. Find somebody who really loves you, but not sinful people. Next, don't give the wrong people your heart with immorality of the opposite sex, with people who are immoral, the opposite sex. Proverbs chapter 7. Don't give your heart to people who are immoral. Proverbs chapter 7, people who are going to be sexually immoral. Proverbs 7, verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Subtle of heart. Verse 25, let not thine heart decline to her ways, nor grow astray to her paths. Chapter 6, verse 25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. This is one reason I think dating is foolish. Okay? I think the way we date, I cannot point to a verse that tells you how to date. I do know in the Bible the parents are much more involved. Okay? I would love to tell you the way I think you should date and show you a Bible verse. I can't do that, and I've stuck myself in a where I do not say the Bible says things. I want to make it say it. Okay, but I can't. But here's the problem. Dating is this. Let me see you with my heart. How would that feel? How would that feel? How would that feel? How would that feel? First of all, you're giving away your heart too many times. You should save it for one person. Secondly, some bad person's going to go, kuck, and you go, how would that feel? And you're gone. And they will ruin your life. They ruin good kids' life. And I know he tells you he loves you and you're the only one for him. And I know she says you're the only one for her. Well, good. Say, that's awesome. I want you to prove that because I want you to go talk to my dad. And I'll wait till we're ready to get married and we're not going to touch. We're not going to do anything. And you'll find out if he really just loves you or if he just loves your body. Because you give your heart away and you say, well, you never would want to date someone you wouldn't want to marry because you're putting your heart out there. You stand back there, you seek wise counsel, you say, what do you think of him? What do you think of him? Well, how can you meet him, Pastor? He doesn't come to church. There's your answer. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If they don't believe with you spiritually, they don't believe. I mean, not only do they go to church, but they don't go to a church that's like your church. Do you want to say, yes, sir, and follow him the rest of your life? Or she's going to say, you know what? I totally agree with you, and I'm going to raise our kids exactly the same. If you don't have that, you're nuts to even think about them. You find someone who believes like you, has the same priorities as you, the same visions as you, and someone who you want your kids to turn out like, and then wise counsel says, yep, they are godly, and time says, yes, they're godly, and you watch them and say, you know what? I could be happy if my kids turned out like them, because your kids are going to turn out like them. And then you say, you know what? This looks like a prospect. Now, let's real carefully go over here. Now that I've decided they're married material and they're godly and the kind of person I want my kids to be like and wise counsel agrees, now, okay, I've kept my heart and it's been in this safe in dating and in relationships. All right, here it goes. And then try. But just to go, hey, I want to date with you. I'll go. You're going to. And by the way, I could tell tragic stories all day. of people who are good people, wonderful Christians, people who sat under this ministry and other ministries and thousands of ministries, people who came from better homes than mine, where he just wasn't careful with his heart and was a goner. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep away from the wrong, immoral people and do that. Next, keep, just some things we're supposed to keep our heart from. Proverbs 23 and verse 33. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. That's talking about alcohol. Stay away from alcohol. Do you know when you get drunk, your heart turns wide open to all kinds of things? You ever see a drunk? I love you, Bob! You're my best friend! You know what? You just met Bob 15 minutes ago. Because when you're drunk, your heart has no ability to restrain itself. You're out of control. You're not sober-minded. Alcohol makes you give your heart away stupidly. And so keep away from alcohol. And it could just... don't let the wrong people have your heart. Sinners, immoral people, alcohol, haters is the next one. Proverbs 26, don't let haters have your heart. Proverbs 26 and verse 24. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. This is a person who has loves... hate, and so stay away from haters. Don't give them your heart. Next, I want to say what to do with your heart. We said, first of all, keep your heart carefully by A, giving your heart to the right people. B, don't let the wrong people have your heart. C, apply your heart. Proverbs chapter 10, apply your heart. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8, the wise in heart shall receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall, shall receive commandments. You apply your heart, and God says you'll receive them. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 14. It says, a heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of foolish poureth out foolishness. Proverbs 22, you're seeking knowledge, you're seeking understanding, you're seeking the commandments of God. Tune your heart to apply it to important things. Proverbs 22, and let's see. Verse 17, bow down thine ears and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart to my knowledge. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. How many of you went to college? Raise your hand. All right. Let's see. Raise your hand again. Okay. Jess, when you were in engineering college on the UP, right? All right. In college, you were a serious student. You applied your heart to learning. Okay. Did you ever see students who were there who were smart, who didn't apply their heart? Did they do well? Okay. Tony, you studied computers. Did you ever have people in the computer classes at Pensacola Christian College who didn't apply their heart? They were too busy playing video games. They want to be the video game tester someday. They didn't apply their heart. You know, somebody can be in the best environment in the world, and if they don't apply themselves, they don't get a bunch. And the Bible says, apply thine heart to knowledge. Apply thine heart to instruction. Apply thine heart. And bow down your ear. It says, get your heart and tune it to learn. One of the greatest things that I can ever teach you in Proverbs and on wisdom is to learn how to learn. Amen. Is to get a hunger for wisdom. If you haven't caught on my desire to learn wisdom yet, you haven't been paying attention. I'm desperate for more wisdom. I don't have enough yet. And so I applied myself. If I compared myself to the average Joe, I'm going to think I'm a rocket scientist in wisdom. Okay, but you know what? I have a lot more demands for wisdom than the average person, and I have nowhere near the wisdom. And you know what? The devil still comes up with some pretty tricky things that I got to figure out. And you know what? Our society has an amazing ability to destroy themselves and make it very difficult to rebuild themselves. They don't just knock the top piece of the rock off. They knock all the rocks off and then crumble them into powder, then scatter them throughout miles. And you know what? We need wisdom for that. And so you apply your heart And in Proverbs 23, let's do another one of these. It says, apply your heart to these things, to instruction and wisdom and all these things. Proverbs 23. In verse 12, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Apply your heart. Work very hard on that. Next. I'm not going to get through this whole lesson tonight. Next, we said the first big point was keep your heart carefully. Second big point, you give your heart, you guide your heart, don't let your heart guide you. Amen. You guide your heart, you don't let the heart guide you. Proverbs 23, since we're here, Proverbs 23 and verse 19. It says, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Guide thine heart in the way. This is the great thing. This is, you got to follow me for a sec here. You will follow your heart wherever your heart get whatever your heart gets attached to, whether it be the Lord, whether it be the world, whether it be sin, whether it be whatever, the person, the opposite sex, whoever it is. Whatever you get your heart attached to, you have to follow it. And you will follow, like Solomon. The good thing is a wise person decides what he gets hooked to. Okay? If I have a rope tied to me, I don't swing it around and throw it at a train that's moving by real quickly. Because I don't want that train to drag me. However, I might hook it to something that I want to be attached to. The Lord. You notice the Bible says, and it separates things, love the Lord with all your heart. Not the same thing. Love and heart are the same thing. Heart is the center of your emotions. Love is a fruit. Or phileo love is something that we have inside. It's an emotion. And so you choose to attach your heart through love to the Lord with all of your heart. No reservations. In other words, you can love God with everything. He's never going to do you wrong. And so you love the Lord with all your heart. You attach it. But the thing is that the key is you are wise enough and strong enough that someone cannot sweet talk in you into saying, okay, here it is. You are always of a sober mind and says, do I want to give my heart to that person? You should give your heart to people. Do not distrust everybody. Everybody's not to be distrusted. Give your heart to your spouse. Give your heart to your pastor. Give your heart to your best friend. Give your heart to those who you can trust. And by the way, if you love the Lord enough, you can detach your heart if you must. And you need to sometimes. Follow me as I follow Christ. But Paul wanted their heart. And so you choose to guide your heart. And he says, I know your heart, you have to follow it, but keep it with all diligence. But then you guide it to where you want it to end up because you're going to follow it. So hook it to what you want it to take you to. And you do that. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. It said, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. So, it says, do not trust your heart. I don't trust my heart. So, here you are, you're young, and you say, who do I want to marry? Don't trust your heart. Your heart will not necessarily guide you to the right person. It'll guide you to one of a few things. One, somebody who looks incredible. Two, someone who says just the right things to you. Or three, the first one who gets to you. And many, I don't mean that as an insult, the first person who gets to you, our hearts want to attach themselves. And when you're 14 or 15 or 16 or 17 or 18, and all of a sudden, some girl's looking at you, or some guy's looking at you. Listen, I won't do it, but if I said, you adults, how many of you attached your heart to someone who you can't believe you attached your heart to when you were young, a whole bunch of adults would go. And they barely raise it because they're very embarrassed. But it's very easy to attach your heart very quickly. And, you know, I want to tell you something here. Once your heart is attached, your pastor and your mom and dad and all the wisdom of the world and God himself will not be able to detach you. You will disobey your parents. You will disobey your pastor. You will tell your parents they don't know what they're talking about. He's really a good guy. She is the best thing in the world. You will tell God no, though God says don't be unequally yoked. It's too late. All we can do then is pray for you that God breaks you up. And that's all we can do. Because we won't be able to talk you out of it. It'll make so much sense to you, and they have your heart, and you will not be able to say no. You can't. And when a man who's married gets his heart attached to a woman who's not his wife, We're not stopping him. He won't stop till he gets caught. Or the woman. And the sad thing is because spouses aren't close and don't have the right kind of relationship, their hearts aren't attached to their spouse, so they got a loose heart ready to attach to somebody else. That's why you stay very close to your spouse, make them your best friend and love them more than anybody else, and give them your heart. Do you guide your heart, not your heart guiding you. You cannot trust your heart, and it is not to be trusted, so you choose where your heart is. These are just points of wisdom. Number one, keep your heart carefully. Underneath that, give your heart to the right people. Don't let the wrong people have your heart. Apply your heart. Number two, give your heart, you guide your heart, not have your heart guide you. We'll stop there tonight. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray tonight that we'd have the wisdom of the heart, knowing what the heart does to us, and know the wonder of the heart, that it makes us be attached to God and be willing to die for the gospel because we love you so much and our whole heart is attached to you. It makes us love our spouse and stick with them through better for worse, richer or poor, sickness and in health because we've attached our heart. Yet, Lord, if the devil or sin or the wrong people get our heart, it destroys our lives. Help us, Lord, to be wise with our heart and keep it with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed.